Positive is what we planted. Vivian. Do you think he'll actually run it? Vivian. She's one of the few celebs he's been too afraid to go after. Alessandra. I'm not sure celeb is the right term. Vivian. You know what I mean. Isabella. He might need an extra push. Sloane. I'll take care of it. My office phone rang, interrupting me from the chat. Sloane, your next appointment is here, Jillian said. Bring her in, please. 2 minutes later, Ayana entered my office, a striking vision draped in marigold silk and shoulder-grazing earrings. Thank you for meeting with me on such short notice. She folded herself gracefully into the chair opposite mine. Her skin glowed beneath the lights, and she had cheekbones that could slice through diamonds. No wonder she'd taken the modeling world by storm over the past year. You're my client. I'm happy to help in any way I can, I said. Ayana was my last new client for a while. My roster was technically closed, but Alessandra's mother was Ayana's modeling mentor. I'd met with her earlier this year as a favor, and I liked her so much I'd signed her that day. Good. She hesitated, her lovely face shadowed with nerves. Because I might be in trouble. For the next 45 minutes, I listened as Ayana laid out her situation. I kept my expression neutral, but every cell in my body blanched when she reached the marriage part. I don't know what to do, she concluded. She stared at her lap, her anxiety palpable. I owe him so much, but... But nothing. It's your life, I said firmly. Listen, as your publicist, I'll tell you this would be great publicity. There's nothing the public loves more than a celebrity wedding. But as a woman, as a human, I'll tell you to follow your gut. Is gratitude worth 5 years of your life? When Ayana left, the question lingered. I couldn't answer it for her, and my job was to spin her decision into media gold, no matter what it was. I just hoped she made a choice she wouldn't regret later. I opened my inbox, but I didn't get a chance to read anything before Javier appeared at the door.
Was that Ayana I saw coming out?
He strolled in, his hair tousled by the wind and his sweater molding to his form in a way that was positively sinful.
I didn't realize she was still in town.
A sizzle of awareness ran beneath my skin, chased by something darker that I ignored. It must be my lunch. Tuna salad was hit or miss on a good day. Do you know her?
Not personally, but she's a friend of a friend, and I've seen her around a few times.
Javier said with a shrug.
Luca mentioned she was supposed to be shooting a Del Monte campaign in Europe this week, but I guess not.
Ah. His eyebrows arched.
What happened? Did the meeting not go well?
It went fine. I stared at my screen, willing myself to get over whatever was roiling in my stomach. She's great, obviously, since she's the first thing you mentioned when you walked in. Silence greeted my curt response. When I looked up again, Javier wasn't staring at me in shock like I'd expected. The bastard was laughing. Great, rolling waves of silent laughter shook his body and sent a rush of heat to my cheeks.
Luna.
Mirth gleamed in his eyes.
Are you jealous?
No, I snapped. It was merely an observation. I returned to my screen and glared at the lines of text until they blurred. Prickles bloomed behind my nose and eyes. It was stupid and irrational because I didn't really think Javier was interested in Ayana. But I couldn't fix the valve leaking inside me. The one that held back a flood of insecurity, which I thought I'd turned off until little moments like this dripped self-doubt into my stomach. Too cold, too dispassionate, too unlovable. Javier was the opposite of me. Full of warmth, easy to like, and a charmer at his core. He'd been honest and committed since we'd started dating, but a part of me was waiting for him to run. One day, he'll wake up and realize I wasn't the person he wanted me to be, and he'll leave.
Sloane.
He didn't sound amused anymore. Soft footsteps preceded the clean scent of his cologne. Firm hands turned me around.
Look at me.
I fixated stubbornly on his neck. One of his tattoos peeked from beneath his sweater, and it was the only thing that kept me from falling apart. What the hell happened? One second I was working and smiling so much I scared Jillian. The next, I was on the verge of a breakdown over a man. Past me was disgusted with myself, but past me didn't know what current me knew. This trial period I'd proposed had backfired spectacularly. I'd thought we could have fun for 2 months and say we tried. I'd thought I could walk away at the end of this and be okay. But I couldn't. Not when jealousy gnawed through my insides at the mere thought of Javier with someone else.
Look at me.
Fingers grasped my chin and notched it up. Javier's eyes bored into mine, stripping me bare.
You have nothing to be jealous of. I mentioned Diana because I was just talking to Luca, and that was at the top of my mind. It doesn't have anything to do with how I feel toward her because I don't feel anything.
She's a supermodel. Everyone feels something toward her.
I don't,
he said.
I don't care how beautiful or famous someone is, Luna. None of them hold a candle to you.
If he were anyone else, I would have dismissed his reassurance as empty words. But this was Javier, and because it was Javier, his reply had the effect of 1,000 fluttering wings. Their velvety tips brushed my heart, sealing the leak and soaking up the insecurities. I managed a smile over the steel drum of my heart. You always know what to say.
It's easy when it's the truth. Now.
He leaned down and gave me a soft, lingering kiss. He tasted like coffee and warmth.
That's a proper hello.
I laughed, my skin tingling from either our kiss, the end of our previous conversation, or both. I was a bit embarrassed by my uncharacteristic outburst of jealousy, but I was too pleased to see him to care. Do we have a meeting today? I asked, trying to shift back into work mode. I thought we were going to talk on the phone. Javier had said he had a plan for getting Vuk to sign on as his business partner without a location first, and he wanted to run it by me.
We don't, and we were. But I'm not here for business. I'm here to see you.
Javier nodded at the coffee cup he'd set on my desk.
Black, no sugar.
I took a sip and narrowed my eyes at him over the rim. I have a lot of work to catch up on. I'd been so distracted since we started dating that I wasn't ahead by 2 weeks like I usually was. I was on schedule, which was unacceptable.
It's lunchtime, and Jillian said you don't have any meetings until 2.
Jillian needs to stop telling you my schedule, and I'm not hungry.
No.
Javier's voice turned to silk.
But I am.
I didn't get a chance to react before he picked me up and set me on the desk in one smooth, swift motion. He shoved my skirt up around my hips and slipped his thumb beneath the edge of my underwear to find me already slick and wanting. Javier, I hissed, glancing behind me at the unlocked door. Someone will hear. Despite my protest, my clit throbbed with need. Heat gathered like a firestorm in my lungs as those strong, deft hands caressed me, molding to my hips and thighs, stoking the fires higher and hotter until they incinerated my reservations.
Good.
Javier sank to his knees and pushed my knees wider, granting him an unfettered view of my soaked arousal. His eyes gleamed up at me, dark and bright as volcanic glass.
Then they'll know exactly who you belong to.
A humiliating little whimper left my mouth when he bent his head and closed his teeth around delicate silk. A woozy, breathless second of anticipation sent my pulse skyrocketing, followed by something between a cry and a gasp when he ripped my underwear off and dived in. Bursts of light exploded behind my eyes at the sudden switch from lazy sensuality to feral, untamed hunger. My brain couldn't catch up, so it ceded all power to my body. The buck of my hips, the grasp on his hair, the arousal that raced through me so fast and potent it was almost painful. I tried to close my legs, scoot backward, do anything that would let me catch my breath before I exploded from pure pleasure. But Javier's iron grip forced me to stay in place. He was merciless in his assault, his mouth and tongue and teeth pinpointing every sensitive spot with devastating accuracy. I wasn't sure if I was screaming or sobbing or utterly silent. I wasn't sure if my staff was standing at the door right now, watching him tongue-fuck my brains out while I lost all semblance of control. I wasn't sure of anything at all, really, except for the fact I never, ever wanted this to end. Not with him, and not with us. The firestorm inside me finally erupted, and this time, I heard my cry before a hand clamped over my mouth, muffling my scream. My orgasm was so intense that I disintegrated immediately. Bits and pieces of me falling, floating, burning until the smoke cleared, and a hazy shadow of my senses returned. The hand over my mouth dropped, replaced by a punishing kiss. I tasted my arousal, and my nipples tightened again like I hadn't just come so hard I couldn't breathe properly.
That was a preview. The next time you doubt how much I want you.
Javier drew my bottom lip between his teeth and nipped. The sting traveled straight to the emptiness pulsing between my thighs.
Remember this.
He gripped my hips again, pulling me off the desk and bending me over so I was bared to him. My skirt was still bunched around my hips, and my underwear lay in tatters on the floor. I heard my desk drawer open, followed by the rasp of a zipper and the distinctive tear of tape. My mouth dried. What? A piece of duct tape sealed over my lips, cutting me off.
In case you scream again. You don't want people hearing, remember?
Javier's dark velvet reply promised all sorts of wicked intent.
And I need my hands for something else.
Lust and fear surged through me in equal measure, one indistinguishable from the other. He'd left my hands free, so I could easily tear off the tape, but I didn't. I lay there, legs spread, mouth taped, wetness dripping down my thighs at the obscene picture I must have made. My fear didn't stem from what he was about to do to me. It came from how much I wanted it, how much I liked the tiny loss of control because it meant I didn't have to think. I could just feel.
Hold on to the desk.
Javier's warning shivered down my neck. I barely had time to obey before he slammed into me, my back instinctively bowing from the force of his thrust. I tried to scream, but the duct tape prevented me from making anything except incoherent moans as he fucked me senseless, one hand holding me down, the other delving beneath my blouse to play with my breasts. I clung to the edge of the desk, reduced to one giant, raw, exposed nerve. Sweat coated my skin, and my clit throbbed in time with his thrusts, each pulse so powerful that it sent dark clouds across my vision. Every time my pleasure seemed to plateau, another pinch, another squeeze, another thrust drove it higher to the point of being unbearable. My brain could no longer process the overwhelming sensations racking my body, and I seemed to slip out of myself for a second, seeing the filthy scene we presented to the world. My hair had fallen from its bun. Wisps of it stuck to my flushed skin, and drool leaked from beneath the duct tape as Javier pistoned in and out of me, his deep groans sinking into me as deeply as anything else. I loved the sounds of his pleasure. I loved the way I felt right then, helpless and ravished, yet so very safe. My entire body tensed. Pinpricks of light dotted the drifts of black clouds, and I shook uncontrollably as I climaxed, bucking and jerking against his cock. My pussy spasmed again and again, sending lightning bolts of pleasure through my stupefied brain. I heard Javier give a final guttural grunt before he came to. But the waves kept coming, rolling through my body like a ceaseless ocean of electric, mind-numbing pleasure. I didn't know how long we stayed there, me sprawled bonelessly across the desk, him still buried inside me. But when we finally moved, It was almost 2.
Just in time for your meeting,
Javier teased. I was a mess, but other than his ruffled hair and ruddy cheeks, he looked like he'd just stepped out of a magazine. Bastard.
I have impeccable timing.
He cleaned me up and fixed my clothing with gentle hands before pulling the tape off my mouth. Hilarious. My voice didn't sound like mine. It was too hoarse from... A blush worked its way over my skin, and Javier's satisfied grin widened. I'll have to postpone my meeting. I can't discuss media strategy looking like I've...
Been freshly and thoroughly fucked?
My blush deepened at Javier's smoky drawl. I wouldn't put it quite that way, I said with as much dignity as I could muster, considering my underwear was in shreds. What I'd done, what we'd done, was so out of character for me that I couldn't quite wrap my head around it. I wasn't the type of person who mixed business and pleasure, which, well, okay, that horse had left its gate weeks ago. But I was hyper aware of my surroundings at all times, and I never engaged in compromising activities at the office. Javier was the only person who could make me forget about my rules and like it. It was disturbing. God, I hoped no one had heard us. Everyone should be at lunch, but you never knew when an enterprising assistant chose to stay in and catch up on work, and catch her boss having sex in the process.
You can put it any way you want, Luna, but it's the truth.
Javier's lips touched mine.
For the record, you look beautiful when you're freshly fucked.
How charming. I should pick up the phone and reschedule my 2 o'clock meeting, but I wanted to stay in his arms a while longer. They should create a makeup tutorial for it.
I'm sure one already exists.
He drew back, examining me.
How are you feeling?
Good. A little sore, but good. I couldn't find a better term to describe the weightlessness I felt. Good wasn't adequate, but unlike other words, saying it didn't freak me out.
Good,
Javier repeated. His palms braced the desk on either side of me, and as we smiled at each other, the silence soft with contentment while we savored our last moments before reality intruded. Another word surfaced in my mind. Happy. Simple. Basic. But no less true. Chapter 28. Sloane. By some miracle, no one said a word when Javier and I emerged from my office after our, session yesterday. People were still trickling in from lunch, and the staff members who were there were too busy oohing and aahing over pictures of Princess Camilla to pay us any mind. Thank the Lord for small favors. I'd rescheduled my meeting and forgot about Javier's VUC plan until we met up for dinner the next night. He hadn't mentioned it beyond his initial text about it. 2 questions, I said as we meandered through downtown. 1, what's the plan for VUC? And 2, where are we going for dinner? I'm starving.
Oh, now you're hungry,
Javier teased, wrapping his arm around my shoulders. The warm weight sent a swarm of butterflies diving and whirling in my stomach.
Yet you kicked me out when I tried to take you to lunch.
Because I remember what happened yesterday during lunch. I got 0 work done. I attempted a haughty look, but ended up blushing at the sly glance he sent my way. I did that a lot more these days, blushing. It was enough to drive a blush hater like me mad.
I'm aware.
Javier's drawl went molten with desire.
You look good bent over your desk, Luna. Especially when your pussy is dripping with my...
Javier? The flush escalated to a 5-alarm fire. I glanced around us, convinced every other person on the sidewalk could hear his filthy words. I wasn't a prude, but I didn't want all the random Janes and Joes to know about my sex life either. He laughed.
Fine. I'll save the dirty talk for the hotel.
The hotel? Where exactly are we going? I asked, my voice rife with suspicion.
You'll see. Ask me another question.
I hate your evasiveness.
You love it because you love surprises.
I'm a Virgo. I hate surprises. Except for the Sunday meetup with Penn, but that didn't count.
Ask me another question, Luna.
Javier said, ignoring my perfectly serviceable astrology argument. I was a firm supporter of hard science, but astrology was too fun to give up. Fine, I grumbled. I was intrigued by what he had planned, but I'd never admit it. I didn't need him springing surprises on me left and right. The one you skipped. What was the VOOC plan you came up with?
The VOOC plan, right.
We turned left onto a quiet street.
What are the driving forces behind every successful businessman? Why do they do what they do?
Easy. Money, power, and fame.
There's one more.
A furrow dug between my brows. Ego? No, that falls under the other three. Revenge? Ambition? Spite? Javier side-eyed me.
Passion.
Oh, I wrinkled my nose. Not as good as spite. That was what had driven me to build Kensington PR into what it was today. Yes, I was passionate about what I did, and yes, I needed the income. But during my darkest moments and most sleepless nights, spite was the fire that kept the darkness at bay. I'd wanted to prove I could thrive without my family's money or support, and I had. They wanted me to fail and ask for their help. I would rather tie the last brick of my business to my feet and jump into the Hudson before I gave them that satisfaction. That was just me, though. Maybe other people were different.
Perhaps not,
Javier said dryly.
But I've been doing some research into VOOC, and he has an interesting history. Do you know how Markovich Holdings started?
I shook my head.
VOOC worked for a small distillery in his hometown in high school. He loved the place but hated how it was run, so he hustled and saved until he had enough money to buy it outright after college. He studied chemical engineering, and after he took over the distillery, he revolutionized the vodka-making process to create...
Markovich Vodka, I finished, naming the world's most popular vodka brand.
Exactly. Obviously, he's come a long way since then. But the point is, this wasn't a man who went into the business for money or fame. He saw something he loved, thought he could do it better, and did do it better. It took years and a shit ton of work, but he did it. That's passion.
Javier shook his head.
That was my mistake. I appealed solely to his business side and forgot about the heart.
I smiled. VOOC wasn't the only passionate one. I'd never heard Javier so fired up about something until the club. Appealing to his other side is a good idea, I said. When's your next meeting with him?
Tomorrow. The problem is I don't have a frame for my pitch. I didn't exactly grow up dreaming of being a nightclub owner.
No, but I distinctly remember a pile of discarded bar sketches in Colombia. They're a start.
They're also in the trash, in Colombia,
he pointed out. I'm guessing if you had them there, you'll have some lying around here. I arched an eyebrow. I've seen your house. You still have a trophy for winning biggest flirt at prep school.
Hey, that trophy is made of solid fake gold. It's worth its weight in sentimentality.
Javier's teeth flashed white against his tanned skin.
But you might be right about some old sketches lying around.
That's why people pay me the big bucks, I quipped. We walked for another 5 minutes before we turned onto a quiet side street and stopped in front of a charming brick building. Ivy blanketed its walls, and a peek through the glass door revealed an elegantly appointed lobby filled with plants and rich fabrics.
It's a new family-owned boutique hotel,
Javier said.
It opened just a few months ago, but its restaurant serves some of the best Thai food in the city.
My stomach rumbled at the mention of food. Sold.
One more thing before we go in.
His face sobered with a touch of nerves.
I booked the hotel for the night in case you'd rather stay here, with me. Their suites are beautiful and—
Okay. My heart thudded out another response. Yes, yes, yes. Surprise flashed in his eyes, followed by a slow smile that sent a cascade of tingles down my spine.
Okay,
he repeated. That was all we needed to say. Good evening, Mr. Castillo. The front desk recognized him on sight. Which of our suites would you like to stay in tonight?
We'll take the royal suite and dinner by the pool. Please send pajamas and toiletries as well. We didn't bring any luggage.
Of course. If you change your mind, any of our other suites are at your disposal. I paused, turning over her words. Wait. I fixed Javier with a disbelieving stare. When you said you booked the hotel, you booked the whole hotel?
I like supporting family businesses.
His dimples twinkled with mischief.
I also like privacy.
The businesswoman in me said he shouldn't be splashing money around like this when the fate of his inheritance hung in the air. The romantic in me said to shut up and enjoy the experience. For the first time in my life, the romantic won. The concierge gave us a quick tour of the hotel's amenities before taking us outside, where dinner would be served. If you'd like to order more food, swimwear, or any other amenities, you can do so using these cards, she said, handing us each a slim gold card. They had several white buttons embedded in them for various purposes, including housekeeping, dining, and general services. Enjoy your evening. Thank you, I said. The door closed behind her. I turned and my heart skipped an awed beat. Wow. I'd stayed at many luxury hotels in my life. Most were pretty generic in the way all luxury hotels were, but this place was beautiful. The turquoise lagoon pool featured a miniature waterfall at one end and a hot tub on the other. Lush foliage and custom rockscapes enhanced the tropical vibes, while a cushioned candlelit cabana infused the scene with dreamy romanticism. Overhead, a glass dome protected the entire space from the elements, and the temperature was a perfect, balmy 75 degrees. We weren't in Manhattan. We were in the freaking Garden of Eden. Javier laced his fingers through mine and pulled me toward the cabana. When we got closer, I noticed the low wooden table was covered with food. Correction, it was covered with a feast. Coconut puff sticks sat next to grilled and marinated chicken skewers. Classic pad thai noodles starred alongside pineapple fried rice served in an actual hollowed-out pineapple. And an array of soups and curries perfumed the air with lemongrass, ginger, cumin, and a dozen other mouthwatering spices. My stomach rumbled again with eagerness. There's no way we'll finish all this, I said, sinking onto one of the giant cushions that doubled as a seat.
Probably not,
Javier admitted.
I didn't know what dishes you like best, so I ordered a bit of everything.
Another peek of his dimples.
None with walnuts, though.
These butterflies in my stomach were getting out of hand. I needed pest control or something. I don't think walnuts are usually featured in Thai cooking, I said, trying to hide the swell in my chest.
You never know. What do you have against those poor nuts anyway?
They look like brains. It creeps me out. Stop laughing.
I'm not laughing,
he managed through gusts of laughter.
I just didn't expect that to be the reason.
I attempted to hold on to my indignation. My reason for hating walnuts was perfectly valid, thank you very much. But Javier's amusement was too infectious, and a smile eventually cracked my frown. Our rapport took on an easy rhythm as we ate our way through the feast. Talking to Javier was like talking to one of my best friends. I didn't have to scrounge for topics or worry he'd take something I said the wrong way. He understood me. And as our conversation wound from food, film, and music to travel, I relaxed to the point where I forgot about everything outside this moment.
Thailand,
Javier said when I asked about his favorite places he's visited so far.
I went after college, fell in love, and stayed there for an entire summer. It was hot as hell, so I spent most of my time at the beach.
A hint of wistfulness flickered over his face.
My mom was a fan, too. When I was young, She would tell me about her adventures abroad and how she always went back to Thailand. The culture, the nature, the food.
He nodded at the half-empty dishes in front of us.
She loved it all.
I remained quiet lest I spooked him into withdrawing. Javier never talked about his mother, and I was fascinated by the glimpse into their relationship. I knew they'd been close. They'd had to be, considering how devastated he'd been by her death. But I didn't know the details. The little things that transformed Patricia Castillo from an amorphous piece of the past to a concrete memory.
Maybe that was why I stayed so long,
Javier said.
It made me feel closer to her.
My chest tightened, mirroring the weight he bore. I'd had a few more years with my mother than he'd had with his, but I understood the desire to connect to someone who was no longer there. Their presence, no matter how brief, left an emptiness that could never be truly filled.
My mother wrote me a letter when I was born.
Javier's mouth twisted in a wry smile when my gaze jerked up to his in shock.
I didn't know about it until last month. My father told me about it during our last conversation. He said he'd forgotten about it because my mom placed it in a safe. I don't know if I believe him, but I guess it doesn't matter now. He's dead and I have the letter.
His shrug looked forced. He could pretend it wasn't a big deal, but it was. We both knew that. Did you read the letter? I asked softly. His Adam's apple slid up and down his throat.
Yes.
I waited, not wanting to push him on such a sensitive topic. I was curious about the letter, but I was more concerned about Javier. Dealing with his father's death and a long-lost letter from his mother in such a short period of time must have taken a huge toll, especially since he didn't have anyone to talk to about it. I was the closest thing he'd had to a confidant in that house. The tightness in my chest compounded.
It's funny,
Javier finally continued.
When I read that letter, I could hear her voice. It was like she was right there, watching over me. She said she couldn't wait for me to discover my favorite places in the world and that, if I were ever at a loss as to where to go, I should choose a place by the beach. I went to Thailand long before I knew the letter existed, but coincidentally, the beach was one of the reasons I chose to go there. It was far away from my father, surrounded by water, and it reminded me of my mother.
A faint smile.
It was a triple win. I just wish.
The smile faded beneath a shadow of melancholy.
I wish I would have found the letter sooner. I might have lived my life a little differently. Done more things I'd be more proud of.
You're not a bad person, Javier, I said, my voice gentle. You didn't do anything egregious that you should be ashamed of. And you may not have read her letter until recently, but I think a part of her was always there with you, guiding you. Besides, my mind slipped to 5 years ago, when I'd walked away from the only family I'd ever known at the time. It's never too late for change. If you're unhappy with the road you're traveling, you can choose a new one at any time. Javier stared at me, his eyes a hurricane of emotions I couldn't decipher.
I wish she could have met you,
he said, so quiet that I felt more than I heard his words.
She would have loved you.
The tightness behind my ribs morphed into a raw, pervasive ache. It spread everywhere, my throat, my nose, behind my eyes, and in the deepest grooves of my heart. I didn't cry, but this was the closest I'd come to doing so in a long, long time.
She left this with the letter.
Javier reached into his pocket and retrieved an antique gold pocket watch. He set it on the table and ran a pensive thumb over the case.
It's a family heirloom. I'm not a watch person, but I've been carrying it around because, I don't know. It felt right.
It's gorgeous. I picked the watch up gingerly and opened it, admiring the sapphire accents and exquisite craftsmanship. Whoever made it obviously did so with love. Every element was hand-tooled to perfection, including the faded but legible engraving. The greatest gift we have is time. Use it wisely, I studied it, careful not to rub against the time-worn letters.
The quote is a good reminder, isn't it?
The corners of Javier's mouth flicked up without humor.
I wasted years doing nothing with my life. I was so resentful of my father and so scared of fucking up that I didn't even try. It made sense to me at the time, but...
His voice caught, stalled. Then the conversation turned in a direction I didn't expect.
Do you know why my mom died?
I closed the pocket watch and returned it to the table, my heart pounding. It was a house fire. She didn't make it out in time.
No, that's how she died, not why.
The hurricane in his eyes brewed into something darker, stronger, beyond the confines of categories.
She died because of me.
Nothing could have prepared me for the punch of his words. Air evacuated from my lungs, and a bruise blossomed where the impact hit, unexpected and agonizing. Javier.
Don't,
he said harshly.
Don't try to say it's not my fault until you hear the whole story.
I lapsed into silence, my eyes burning with unshed emotion.
I was 10. My father was away for business, and my mom was volunteering at an event. She loved art, so she donated a lot of money and time to local galleries.
Javier swallowed.
My father's birthday was the day after his scheduled return. She wanted to surprise him with a party, and she put me in charge of the decorations. It was my first time being in charge of something so important. I wanted to make them both proud, so I went all out. Balloons, piñatas.
His knuckles whitened.
Candles.
An invisible anchor dragged my heart through my stomach. No.
I did a test run to see how everything would look,
Javier said.
But I thought I heard a noise in another room and I got distracted. I accidentally knocked one of the candles over.
His eyes were bleak.
I tried to put it out, but there was wood and cardboard everywhere. The fire spread too quickly and I got trapped. Luckily, we didn't have a lot of staff back then, just a housekeeper. She was outside checking the mail, and when she saw the flames, she called the fire department. But my mom came home right then, and when she found out I was inside, she didn't wait for the firefighters. She ran in and pulled me out. We almost made it to the front door before a beam fell and trapped us again. I don't remember much of what happened after that. I passed out from too much smoke inhalation. When I woke up, I was outside with the medics. I survived. She didn't.
I didn't think. I just reached out and closed my hand around his, wishing I could do something. Anything, except listen helplessly.
My father rushed home when he heard the news. I don't think he truly believed my mother, his wife, was gone until he saw her body. And when he did, I'd never heard anyone cry like that. Sometimes I can still hear it. It was almost inhuman.
Javier brushed his fingers over the pocket watch, his expression taut.
He loved my mother more than anyone else in the world. They'd met in college, the aspiring businessman and the heiress who fell in love with his charm, his ambition, his loyalty. He was the reason why he worked so hard to build the Castillo Group. And when she died, a part of him died with her.
Javier lifted his head again, his gaze clouded with decades-old anguish.
He blamed me. After her funeral, he told me he wished I were the one who died instead of her. He was drunk at the time, really drunk. But I've never forgotten those words. The truth always comes out when our inhibitions come down.
I couldn't breathe through the knots in my chest. I had a shitty family, but I couldn't imagine a parent saying that to their child. Javier had been 10. He'd been just a kid.
The thing is, I didn't blame him,
he said.
Not at first. It was my fault. If I hadn't been stupid enough to light that one damn candle, there wouldn't have been a fire, and my mother would still be alive. But the older I got, the more I...
Javier faltered.
I don't know. I got angry too. It was easier to swallow than guilt. And my father was right there taking his rage out on me. Physically, mentally, emotionally. He still wanted me to take over the company because he had no other choice. I was his only heir. But outside that obligation, he hated me. And I hated him back.
He tapped a tattoo on his bicep. It featured the family crest for the Castillo's biggest rival and had set social media ablaze when he first got it.
One year I came home with this, and I left with scars.
My stomach roiled at his matter-of-fact tone.
My father was the only parent I had left,
Javier said.
It should have brought us closer, but it drove us apart. Every time we were together, we were reminded of who was missing. And it hurt too much. So we lashed out in our different ways. And by the time I graduated college, I was done. I didn't want anything to do with him or the company. Except when it came to money. It doesn't reflect well on me, but it's the truth.
Heavy silence descended, punctuated by the soft burble of water and faint music from inside the hotel. Javier stared at where my hand rested over his, a thousand emotions passing over his face before he shook his head.
I'm sorry.
He let out a rueful laugh.
This was supposed to be a beautiful dinner, and I dragged you into the most morbid conversation possible.
He tried to pull his hand away, but I stopped him with a firmer grip. He'd been there for me at the hospital, in Spain after my father's email, and in a dozen other situations and ways he didn't know mattered as much as they did. It was my turn to be there for him. This is a beautiful dinner. Coconut puffs are the way to my heart, I said, earning myself a shadow of a smile. But before I say what I'm about to say, I want you to know two things. One, I'm terrible at comforting people. I have no talent or desire to do so, and tears make me uncomfortable. Two, I hate platitudes. They're fake and stupid. So I want you to listen carefully when I say this. It wasn't your fault. You were a kid, and it was an accident. I squeezed his hand, wishing I could imprint my sincerity into his skin because I meant every word. It wasn't your fault. Javier's eyes gleamed bright and turbulent. Playboy, heir, hedonist, flirt. Those masks were gone, leaving only the man in their place. Raw in his vulnerability, flawed in many ways, and marred by cracks and bruises beneath a deceptively polished facade. I looked at him, and I'd never seen anyone more beautiful. His hand curled around mine and squeezed, just once. Just enough to jumpstart a piece of my heart I'd never known existed. Then the cracks sealed, the bruises faded, and he stood, withdrawing his hand from mine to pull his shirt over his head. I was so thrown by the sudden shift in atmosphere that I didn't find my voice until he was halfway to the pool. What are you doing?
Skinny dipping.
His pants joined his shirt on the ground. You can't skinny dip here, I hissed, glancing around. There are security cameras, and someone could come out any second.
No one will come out unless we call them. Even if they do, they can't see anything if we're in the pool.
Javier shed his boxers, his smile containing equal parts challenge and amusement.
Come on, Luna. Don't make me do this alone.
He stood in front of the pool, all bronzed skin and sculpted muscle, as naked and unabashed as a Greek statue come to life. Soft light spilled over the hard contours of his body, tracing the ridges of his abs and the strong, lean sinew of his legs. A hot ripple wavered through me, coupled with a surprising pinch of envy. What would it feel like to be that carefree and spontaneous? To do something I wanted without worrying about the consequences? Oh, what the hell? It wasn't like he hadn't seen the goods before. I made an impulse decision and stood before I changed my mind. Javier's eyes darkened as I walked toward him, shedding my dress, tights, and underwear with each step. By the time I reached him, I wasn't wearing a stitch of clothing, and it felt good. More than good. It felt freeing.
Stunning,
he whispered, and I felt that one word from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. We sank into the pool, our movements languid as we relished the silky, heated waters. We didn't talk. We simply floated there, unburdened by the weight of our clothes and long-hidden secrets, our fingers interlacing more out of habit than thought. It was impossible to see stars in the city sky, but the quiet, the warmth, and the fragrance of exotic blooms jeweling the air transformed our little pocket of New York into a magical secret world, at least for tonight. Our lives weren't perfect, but here, together, we were at peace.
Chapter 29. Javier. I hadn't planned on telling Sloane about my past. I'd never told anyone what happened with the fire. But there was something about last night, the way she looked at me, and the ease I felt around her that pulled the words out of me before I processed what was happening. Once they were out, it was like a giant weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I hadn't realized how much the poison from my past was eating me up inside until I expunged it. And not only did Sloane listen without judgment, but she'd comforted me afterward. Sloane Kensington didn't comfort people, but she'd comforted me. If I'd ever thought I could walk away from her before, last night confirmed I couldn't. Thanks to her, I also showed up to Vuk's office on Friday morning armed with my new strategy. I didn't bring slide decks or shiny handouts. I didn't even bring my old bar sketches. I simply told him the truth. My fractured relationship with my father, my refusal to take over his company out of fear and spite, his death and my mother's letter, everything I shared with Sloane. I reframed into a story that wasn't just about numbers, it was about the heart behind them. You're worried the club will crash and burn if my inheritance committee doesn't rule in my favor come May, I said. I would be too if I were in your shoes. But here's the thing. I'm no longer doing it for my inheritance. Vuk's eyebrows notched up. I'm no longer doing it just for my inheritance, I amended. My entire life, I relied on what other people gave me. I lived off something I didn't build. And I told myself I was okay with it because I didn't have the courage to stray from that path. But this club, everything I've achieved so far, that's mine. And I'm fucking proud of it. I'd had help along the way because no one built an empire alone. But the vision and execution were mine, and I hadn't fucked them up so far. Things were going well as starting a new business in the city could possibly go, and it made me think I could do this. Take the Castillo name and make it my own. I would love to have you as a partner, I said. As expected, Vuk hadn't said a word during my spiel, but his eyes appeared marginally warmer than they had when I arrived. Either that or I was delirious from lack of sleep. But if you say no, the club will still open. If I don't secure the vault, I'll find another location. It's not ideal, but business isn't always about the ideal. It's about getting things done, and I'll get it done with or without you. I paused, letting my words sink in. However, I'd much rather do it with you. So, I nodded at the contract on his desk. What's your answer? Are you going to take the risk or are you going to play it safe? It was a gamble provoking Vuk like that. Without him, my path to opening the club would be that much harder. But I would figure it out. I hadn't realized it until I'd said it out loud, but I wasn't lying when I'd said I could do it on my own. I'd have to fight like hell and I probably wouldn't sleep from now until May, but people had overcome worse obstacles to achieve their goals. If they could do it, so could I. Vuk studied me, his eyes so pale they were nearly colorless. He didn't move, he didn't smile, he didn't speak. I maintained his gaze, my heart pounding to an ominous rhythm. Then, after an endless, agonizing silence, and without saying a single word, Vuk Markovich slid the contract toward him, picked up his pen, and signed on the dotted line. I did it. I fucking did it. Vuk was officially my business partner, and with his stamp of approval, the rest of the pieces fell into place. That night, Sloane and I celebrated with food, wine, a so-bad-it-was-good rom-com, and lots of sex, obviously. I also had the personal pleasure of delivering the news to Alex over the phone. He greeted the update with as much emotion as a block of granite, but he did sign off with something that made me smile. "Delivered 2 weeks early," he said. "You might survive the industry after all." It was the closest to a compliment one could expect from Alice Volkov. But most importantly, the bank vault was mine. Jules had fast-tracked my permits and licenses and was currently working with Alex's lawyers on the commercial lease. My relationship with Sloane was developing into something more than I'd thought possible, and the financing from Davenport Capital was in the final stages of approval. Opening a nightclub this big, this fast required a ton of capital. And with my inheritance tied up and Vuk unwilling to pour too much cash into an untested venture, I was relying on the Davenport money to cover the shortfall. I was confident it would go through, especially with Vuk on board. Overall, life was good. Really good. But as someone wise once said, all good things came to an end. And this particular streak of luck came to a sudden crashing halt the following Monday. "Luca, did you see this?" His next text included a link to a Perry Wilson blog post. I grabbed my coffee from my usual spot and tucked a $20 bill in the tip jar before I clicked on the link. Perry was always talking shit, and people knew better than to take half the stuff he said too seriously. What was it this time? Did I have an orgy with models in the middle of Fifth Avenue? Get into a brawl with someone at a club? By now, it was semi-public knowledge that Sloane and I were seeing each other. It had elicited some disapproving whispers and controversy among the more conservative crowd, but people weren't as scandalized as she and Perry had originally expected. One, there wasn't concrete proof. Two, it was New York. More salacious things happened every day. And three, she was too damn good at her job for her clients to drop her over such a small scandal. However, my disinterest exploded into shock when I saw Perry's blog post. It was about me and Sloane, but it wasn't what I'd expected. "Kensington's not so estranged? What's going on with New York's most famously dysfunctional family?" There was barely any text, but there were photos, dozens of them. Sloane and I entering the simulation center in Queens. Us leaving with Rhea and Penn. Me hugging Penn goodbye. So on and so forth, our perfect secret day captured in high-definition detail for the world to see. I scrolled to the end, the roar of my pulse drowning out the car horns and sounds of traffic from the street. If there were photos of us at the hotel, and he'd published nudes of Sloane, rage prowled beneath a slick of panic, followed by a tingle of relief when the post ended without mentioning our night at the hotel. I didn't know how long Perry's photographer had followed us, but obviously it hadn't extended to the rest of that week. However, my relief soon hardened into ugly, gnawing guilt. Penn, Sloane, Rhea. All of them had been fucked over by my decision. I'd been so confident I could arrange the meetup without detection, and I'd done it without consulting Sloane despite knowing the risks. She'd been so worried about her sister, and I'd wanted to surprise her with something nice. I'd worried she'd talk me out of it if I told her. And damn it, she would have been right. Because I might have just killed any chance she had of seeing Penn again in the future. Fuck. I made an abrupt turn away from my house and toward her office. Her family must have seen the blog post by now. No one liked to admit it, but everyone read Perry Wilson, if only to ensure they weren't his latest target. "Come on, Luna, pick up," I muttered as I dodged an angry cab driver and crossed the street while the light was still green. The call went to voicemail, as did the next one and the one after that. Luckily, I was only a few blocks away from her office, and I made it there in record time. I'd pissed off half the drivers in Midtown along the way, but I didn't give a shit. I needed to see her and make sure she was okay.
"Javier!"
Jillian half stood, her eyes widening when I burst in like a madman.
"What are—
Is she in a meeting?"
"No, but she's sitting in on a magazine interview with Asher Donovan. silent observer.
I was already gone before she finished her sentence. Sloane was sitting at her desk when I entered her office. She was polished as always in a blouse and pencil skirt, her hair gathered in a perfect bun. But I knew her well enough to pick up on the tiny signs of tension. The ramrod straight posture, the subtle clench of her jaw, the rhythmic tap of her pen against her desk. She looked up from her computer at the sound of the door opening and closing. She must have read the unspoken question on my face because she clicked something on her computer, and Asher's answer about his workout routine faded into silence.
I saw it,
she said. A tinge of pink colored her cheekbones and the tip of her nose.
I got a call from Rhea this morning. They fired her.
Shit. The jagged rocks of guilt multiplied, weighing down my stomach and feet as I crossed the room. I'm so fucking sorry, Luna. I shouldn't have brought them to the center. I wasn't thinking—
Don't be sorry. You had good intentions, and you did everything you could to minimize our chances of getting caught.
Sloane gave me a wan smile.
It was a perfect day, Javier. I'll never be sorry that I got to see Pen. And she was happier than I'd seen her in a long time. That was because of you. It's not your fault George and Caroline would rather prioritize their pettiness over their daughter's well-being.
Her grip around her pen tightened at the mention of her father and stepmother.
This is on them, not you.
Her reassurance eased only a smidge of guilt. The rest continued to fester like a nest of vipers, their serpentine coils slithering through my gut and squeezing tighter with each what if and shouldn't have. Yet another case of me fucking up. But I could self-flagellate later. I was here to check on Sloane, not wallow in self-pity. How's Pen? I asked. Do you know? Sloane shook her head.
They kicked Rhea out before she woke up. She didn't even get to say goodbye. Rhea has taken care of her since she was born, and I can't imagine.
Her voice hitched.
Anyway, with Rhea gone, I have no intel into what's happening. They could have already shipped her off to a distant cousin in Europe for all I know. I wouldn't put it past them.
She maintained a brave front, but I saw past the matter-of-fact replies to the fissures underneath. She was breaking. And it fucking killed me to know I was the cause of it, however indirect. She may not blame me, but that didn't stop me from blaming myself. However, something she said sparked an idea. With Rhea gone, I have no intel into what's happening. Sloane didn't have intel, but I knew someone who could get it. For the right price, they could get anything. However, I kept the plan to myself for now. I didn't want to raise her hopes without confirming with my contact first. I'd started this mess. It was up to me to fix it. We'll figure it out. I promise. I managed a crooked smile. Between you and me, we can figure out anything. We're geniuses. Sloane released a half-sob, half-laugh. Her eyes were dry, but when I opened my arms, she came around the desk and buried her face in my chest without protest. Her shoulders shook, and I kissed the top of her head, wishing I had the power to take her pain away, even if it meant shouldering it myself. We didn't speak. She didn't shed any tears, but I held her all the same.
Sloane. Some people wallowed after a disaster. Others threw fits of temper. Me? I planned. I had a week to swallow my shock, anger, horror, and the thousand other emotions that exploded after Perry's post. I could dwell on Rhea's unfair firing or work myself into a state of panic over being cut off entirely from Pen, but that wouldn't do anyone any good. Instead, I did what I did best. I figured out how to solve a crisis. It started with taking down Perry. I'd already planted the seeds for my revenge. It was time to harvest them. I tapped my pen against my knee and stared at my laptop. It was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, and I was working from home again. I'd already filled 5 pages of notes on Operation PW, Operation Perry Wilson. Perry's power stemmed from 2 things, information, and the platform to disseminate that information. Over the years, The little weasel had cultivated a network of spies from New York to L.A. who fed him juicy tidbits about the rich, famous, and misbehaving. Some of them were true. Many were embellished. It was impossible to fully cut off his sources because anyone